The Old Testament reading for this 15th Sunday after Pentecost is from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4. Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the just decrees that I am teaching you, and do them, that you may live, and go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. You shall not add to the word that I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, that I command you. Keep them and do them, for that will be the wisdom, your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, "Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him? And what great nation is there that has statutes and just decrees so righteous as all this law that I set before you today? Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. This is the word of the Lord." The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 6. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplications for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. This is the word of the Lord."
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter. Jesus called the people to him again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him, but the things that come out of a person are what defile him. And when he had entered the house and left the people, his disciples asked him about the parable. And he said to them, 'Then you also are without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and is expelled? Thus he declared all foods clean. And he said, 'What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person.' This is the gospel of the Lord." Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the gospel lesson. Jesus is trying to teach a very important lesson to the disciples and the ones who come to hear him teach. You can't become a Christian without a change of heart. Everything about Jesus affects the heart. As I said, you cannot be a Christian without a change of heart. So too, we must strive to live a holy life. That's how we change the heart. Outwardly, we can look very good. Outwardly, somebody might say of us, "That's a good person." But that does not mean inwardly they are good. They can have the right actions, the right words, but the wrong attitudes. The Pharisees came to Jesus with a question. That's the context of the gospel lesson, because they misunderstood what it meant to live a holy life. They thought it was a matter of doing, let's call them, spiritual push-ups. If we do the religion just a particular way, then God will be pleased with us. They thought if you look good on the outside, then you have to be good on the inside. Religious ritual had become mechanical. Jesus comes in and bursts their hypocritical bubble. Holy life is more than just a clever form of hypocrisy. The Pharisees were taking issue with Jesus over ceremonial washing. Mark chapter 7, verse 1 says, "Then came together unto him the Pharisees and a certain number of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when he had saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault." The Pharisees said that washing of hands wasn't just a matter of the hands itself. You had to wash all the way up to the elbows. That would make you ceremonial clean in order that you could eat food. The Pharisees were upset that Jesus' disciples did not wash all the way up to their elbows before they sat down to eat. Mark chapter 7, verse 3 says, "For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands often, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders." The Pharisees possessed a religion of old customs. That's what Mark 7, 3 says, holding the tradition of the elders. And in Mark chapter 7, verse 5, it says, "Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, 'Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?'" They were following a man-made tradition, not one commanded by God. You will not find anywhere in the Old Testament a command that you have to wash your hands before you eat. It was tradition, the way we've always done it. Therefore, tradition equaled the Word of God. The Jewish religious leaders came up with 613 laws to help you keep the Ten Commandments. Now, next week I start confirmation class. I decided I'm going to do something different this year. I'm going to have them memorize 613 commandments and meanings. But 613, just to help you keep the 10. I got enough trouble just keeping the 10 commandments or making a gallant effort at it, let alone trying to keep 613 of them. The Pharisees are like some Christians that make the rules the standard of holiness rather than the Messiah himself. One commentator noted, "For a loyal Jew to disregard these regulations was a sin. To follow them was the essence of goodness and service to God." It was a sin not to wash your hands up to the elbows, even though it was not commanded by God anywhere in the law of Moses. They made it, since it was tradition, equal to the Word of God itself. God does not judge holiness by reputation. Because we have a reputation of being a good person doesn't mean that God then credits us with holiness itself. What's important is that when the Bible says, "Thus says the Lord." Now, there's a value to tradition. Don't get me wrong. Tradition has a great value as long as it focuses us on Christ and Christ crucified. Then tradition has value. The Pharisees had the washing of the up to the elbows as a way to keep the third commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. How those two go together, I don't know. I someday have got to ask a rabbi how that one works. Now, some people have just enough religion to make themselves miserable. And the Pharisees, I think, were a very miserable lot because they were always concerned, were they breaking the absolute letter of the law rather than the spirit of the law? And Jesus was aware of their hypocrisy. In verse 6, he says, "He answered and said unto them, Well, has Elias prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written? This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching the doctrines of the commandments of men." The Pharisees were being hypocrites. Hypocrites comes from the Greek word meaning an actor who plays a part. Jesus was aware of their heresy and their hypocrisy. There's a story of a rather pompous young pastor who was teaching a group of confirmands about the importance of living the Christian life. And he asked his class a question: why do some people say I am a Christian? And one little boy in the front pew raised his hand and says, "Because they don't know you that well." Jesus understood the hypocrisy of people. The Pharisees had exchanged God's standard for their own. They had exchanged it for the teaching of the commandments of men. In verse 8 it says, "For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such things to do." They had exchanged God's commands for their own opinions, that they could keep their own tradition. Jesus also criticized them. Another example of how they use tradition to replace God's word. Of course, we know the fourth commandment, honor your father and your mother. Well, one of the ways we honor our parents is to make sure that they're taken care of in their elderly years. When the Bible was written, there was no such thing as Social Security or all the other government programs. It came down to the children and grandchildren to take care of the elderly members of the family. Now, a grandchild or child could set aside a certain amount of possessions for the use for the parents. What the Pharisees did was, now that you've set aside this for the use of the parents, you no longer have any responsibility for them. So if they use that up, you've kept the fourth commandment. You provided for them. Do you see how they twisted it to get around what God actually intended? Jesus addressed the subject of man's defilement. It says in Mark 7, 14 and 15 and 16, "And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, Listen to me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man has ears to hear, let him hear." Jesus is saying what defiles a person is not what goes into the man, but what comes out of the man. What lies in the recesses of our hearts is what defiles us. "And when he entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he said unto them, Are you also without understanding? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing that enters into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it enters not into his heart, but into his belly, and goes out purging all things. When the heart is defiled, evil is the result." When the heart itself is defiled, that's when evil comes out. And there's a list in our gospel lesson of all the evils that comes out of the heart once it's defiled. Mark 20 says, "And that which comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the hearts of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, and all evil things, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. These are the evil things which come from within that defile a man. I found a great quote that says, "The heart of the problem is the problem in the heart." Let me repeat that. The heart of the problem is the problem in the heart. The evil that one practices the evil that one practices defiles us, but it's actually the outgrowth of what's already within the core of our being, our heart. The heart is used in Scripture as the most comprehensive term for the authentic person. It's part of who we are, what we desire, what we deliberate upon, and what we decide. It's been described as the place of conscious and decisive spiritual activity. It's a comprehensive term for the whole person, his feelings, his desires, his passions, his thought, understanding, and will. It's the very center of a person, and it's to which God turns. So when we are a Christian, we change our heart. We follow the things of Christ, not to earn his acceptance or his pleasure, but to react to what he's already done for us. May the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen. And we rise and confess our faith together in the words of the Nicene Creed.